we were talking about in the list, we're just finishing off the last set of pages, where we were discussing the three basic parts of the soul, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama, in order to understand the nature of dibur, the nature of speech, which will help us understand the power of tefillah, and why tefillah, why davening has to davka be with our speech, why we have to say the words. It's not enough to think, it's not enough to feel, but we have to actually say the things. So we're talking, we're in the middle of a discussion of kol, of the importance of sound, of dibur and speech, and the osios and the letters of the aleph beis. So we were discussing the fact that the human being has the transcendent higher quality of the human being that's called the neshama, which we saw from the Rambam and the Nefesh HaChaim and all this farm, that the neshama is manifested primarily through the intellect, through the mind. That part of the human being is called the shemaim of the person, the transcendent heavenly part of the person, that's the mind, that's what the neshama is manifested through. Whereas the earthly, physical, physiological functions of the person are carried out through the nefesh, are manifested through the nefesh. And the most mysterious of the three kochos is what we're going to be concentrating on, which has to, of course, primarily with dibur, is speech, and that's called the ruach, which is the place of emotions, which is manifested through the heart. So we spoke last time about the mind, the moach, that's the mem, the lev, the heart, is the lamed, and the chaf is the kaved, is the liver, through which the nefesh, the blood, the nefesh is manifested. So that forms the word melech, and we spoke about the malchus of a Jewish person, where in, when things are working in the proper sequence, in the proper order, the mind, the intellect, the neshama, is giving over a message to the ruach, to the heart which is the place of ratzon, of desire, the heart which is the place of fear, and of joy, and of sadness, of love. All of that is connected to the ruach. So when things are working properly, the neshama, the intellect, the mind, the neshama which is pure, we say the bracha every day, neshama neshasata b'tahorahi, it's pure. So the pure neshama will send a message to the lev, to the heart. The heart will then be responsible for developing a ratzon, a will, a desire to bring something that's holy into the world, and that will be then transmitted to the nefesh. The nefesh will carry that out through the physical body in the physical world. That's when things are working in the proper order. Then it forms the word melech, moach, lev, kaved, mind, heart, liver. When things are, God forbid, not in the correct order, then we have it reversed. So that's kaved, lev, moach, that spells kalem or klima, which means humiliation and degradation. When a person's neshama is being controlled by the body, when a person's heart, when a person's ratzon, a person's will and desire are beginning from the nefesh, and then the Yetzirah has a way of talking the intellect into anything. So when it's working backwards, when things are beginning from the bottommost part, the earthly part of the human being, and somehow are influencing the neshama, then we have the busha and the chlima, the degradation, the humiliation of a person who will intellectually rationalize whatever he or she does, but discovers after 120 years that it was all off. It was a mistake. So the order of neshama, ruach, nefesh teaches us that the ruach is that which stands between heaven and earth. The heavenly part of the person is the neshama, is the intellect. The earthly part is the nefesh. The ruach is that which stands between the two. Therefore, we learned from the Medrash, and that's where we're up to now also, we learned from the Medrash that the neshama is described, is defined as that quality of the human being which is ola v'yoredes. The ruach is ola v'yored. It rises and falls. It rises and falls. If you look on the page, number 8, I mean, maybe it's not 8, then it's hard to see. Yeah, I think it's 8. It's the third from last, on the second page, from last time. If you weren't here, then you just could look on. To 9? Okay. Which means you're now prepared to type for me. If you can read that, then you could type, because my poor mother and wife have been doing that for so many years. Hagon b'biuro l'safra d'tzneyusa. This is a comment of a student of the Vilna Gaon, the great tzaddik Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, one of the great Mekubalim from Lithuania, from Lita, where he says that the Vilna Gaon in his commentary to the Safra Ditznayusa, which is a section of the Zohar, Kosov She'ikir Ha'adam Hu B'chinas Ruach Shabo. The essence of the human being is the Ruach, which is translated as spirit, which again, the emotions, the life. The essence of the human being is the Ruach, V'hu Ha'ola V'hayored. That is the part of the human being that rises and falls. Now, the meaning of the rising and falling, and this is what I was just beginning to explain, is that since the nefesh is that earthly side, that's the physical side of the human being, and the neshama is the intellect and the highest, most profound quality of the human being, the nekuda, the point that is going to determine whether the person rises or falls, is the ruach. That's what we learned last week, that the measure of life, according to halacha, is the ruach, which comes from the heart. If God forbid, we spoke about this, that if God forbid, a person appears to be dead and we're not sure, and it's Shabbos, let's say the Gemara talks about it, we mentioned last week, that if a wall falls on somebody and you pass by Shabbos, you're not sure whether this person is alive or not. If the person is, if there's the slightest possibility of the person being alive, of course, you're obligated to go to be Mechal Shabbos, you're obligated to do whatever you have to save the person. If the person, lo aleinu, has died, then you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. I mean, it's Rabbanan, you'd be allowed to maybe to ask to a non-Jew, but you can't be Mechal Shabbos to remove a person who's no longer living. So the Gemara there is discussing, this obviously is a very, very important Gemara for Halacha, that the Gemara there is discussing, so how do we know if the person is alive? And the basic conclusion of the Gemara is that under these circumstances, The Gemara ends up bringing the pasuk Kol Asher Nishmas Ruach Chaim Ba'apo. As long as the Nishmas Ruach Chaim, as long as the living soul, the Ruach Chaim, can be detected through the breath, which comes from the heart, which comes from the beating of the heart, the Ruach HaPer. As long as there's a Ruach, there's life. As long as there's a Ruach, there's life. Which means, as it says in the pasuk U'Bacharta B'Chaim, what is life? Life, of course, means. True life means the ability to choose between what's right and what's wrong. So therefore the Ruach is called that part of the human being that is Ola V'Yored, that rises and falls. The deeper meaning of the rising and falling of the Ruach is Svarim say, Baal Tanya writes in many places, that Ratzon, desire, is stronger than seichel, is stronger than the intellect. That ratzon, a person's desire, controls the intellect. What the Tanya refers to is the pnimius halev, the inwardness of the heart. Really, the ideal situation is that the mind controls the heart. The mind, the moach is sholut al halev. In the ideal person, the mind controls the heart. So in the order of the kochos and nefesh, of the different parts of the soul, we have that which is called Chabad. Chabad means Chochma Bina Das. Those are the intellectual powers of the person. And ideally, Chabad, Chochma Bina Das, the intellect, the neshama, controls Chagas, Chesed Gvur Teferes, Netzach, and Ho, meaning the emotional kochos. Ideally. But there is a presence of something that is even above Chabad. Who knows what's on top of Chabad? That's called the crown. The Keser, the crown. The crown is also called Raiva de Raivan, or the will, or desire. So the Ruach, which is the heart is the place of will and desire. This is what the Tanya refers to as the Pnimius Halev. Usually, ideally, the mind controls the heart. The mind controls the emotions. Therefore, the Neshama sends, hopefully will send some good, pure impulses down into the heart, and the heart will then use that and will translate the thought into proper emotions, which will be then carried on to the nefesh, which are maisim, which are proper actions. But there's that quality of the human being that's called the pnimius halev, the inwardness of feeling, the heart of hearts, the deepest, that's called the ratzon, the will and the desire, that's called the crown. Ratzon is higher. Ratzon, will, desire is higher than seichel. It's higher than seichel. The Tanya said, "Ain't tam l'rotzen." How do you explain? Sometimes you'll see two people that they obviously two people that are happily married. Nowadays, it's not so easy to find such a thing, but there are two people that are happily married and clearly adore each other, And everybody else in the world can't figure out, what is it? I don't see what they have one with. I don't see what the shaychus is. And you have a million other times when everything is just the way it should be. They both graduated from the same school. They both have identical parents, identical grandparents. Everything is perfect. It doesn't go. You ask a person, why do you love that person? Because intellectually, it doesn't make sense. I mean, al pi seichel, it doesn't make sense. So the answer is, ain't tam l'rotzen. I don't know. Ani yadaiti. It's a rotzen. It's the pnimius alev. It's the pnimius alev. The inwardness of feeling, the inwardness of the heart, that rises even above Chabad, even higher than Chabad. And therefore, you see how the emotions, the heart, the ruach, it's called the ruach, it's called the wind. And what the Gro is saying over here is from Chazal, that the ruach can either raise a person or lower a person. It's bechira. Bechira. Bechira is connected to my will. That's what will means. When Rabbi Nosson asked Rabbi Nachman, what's the deeper meaning of free choice? You know, that's the hardest question in the world. Free choice and God knows and the whole business. But the Rambam says that no human mind can comprehend. Right? There's no answer. And the Ravid was upset. If you knew that there's no answer, why'd you raise the question? Everybody's going to start getting all mixed up. That's the famous Rambam and Ravid. So Rav Nosson asked Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi, what's the mystery of free choice? And Rabbi Nachman, they said, was silent for over a half hour. And you can imagine, when Rabbi Nachman was silent and thinking for a half hour, it means he went through every single thing in the entire world that was ever taught about that, because there are a million things taught about that. And Rabbi Nachman said that the mystery of free choice is that if you want to do something, you do it, and if you don't want to, then you don't do it. That's it. That's the mystery of Bechira. Wanting. that's what Yaakov Moshe Chalap, the greatest student of Rav Kook, said, that a human being can decide what to want. That's up to you. What to want is up to you. But to be a creature of wanting, that's the very nature. That's the ruach chaim of human beings, to want. That's why the word Adam is the same letters as the word ma'od, which means very. In the name Adam, there's a veriness. There's a wanting. There's a need. So therefore, the measurement of whether a person is alive is with the ruach, which comes from the heart, the breath of life that comes from the heart. As we saw in the pasuk there, in one of the earlier numbers on the page, 7. Be careful and guard your heart, protect your heart, Shlomo Melech said, because from the heart will come forth all the results of life. All of life comes forth from the heart, because it's the place of Bechira. So in the structure, in the hierarchy of the human being, the nefesh is the lowest part, the ruach, then the neshama. Ideally, the ruach, which is the heart, will have the power to lift the nefesh and join the nefesh up to the neshama. We'll be able to join, to make a connection, will be a bridge through bechira, through desire, through wanting. A person can take the lowest physical instincts and lift them up to a place of neshama, and lift them up to a place of holiness. Then the ruach is functioning as a wind that is pushing things upward. But the ruach could be, God forbid, a source of a yerida when the person takes the neshama. Because of my desiring, because of what I want, the person takes the neshama, God forbid, and drags it down to the lowest place and brings it down to the nefesh. When we make ridiculous decisions that are going to affect us the rest of our lives, and those decisions are not coming at all from the neshama, they're not coming at all from holiness, it's coming from from nefesh. The way that a person chooses an ice cream, there are people that choose a spouse the way someone would choose an ice cream, or to choose a movie. They get married, they make decisions of where to go to college and what to do. Yes, think back on some of the major decisions in your life, and you realize that they came purely from nefesh. It wasn't ruach neshama. It was nefesh. It was ruach with nefesh. A little cup, but neshama. Neshama is holy. The neshama is pure. The neshama, that's why the tzaddikim were so connected to Torah. Their minds, their intellects become so connected to the intellect of Hashem, that their decisions are different than our decisions, because our decisions are very often, if not mostly, coming from nefesh and from ruach, are coming from a place that is not from the essence of who we are, from the depths of who we are. Yeah.
So the rotzon is ruach.
Rotzon is ruach. Ruach is the heart. It means emotion, sadness, happiness, love, fear. Rotzon. So I'm saying is that it stands between the nefesh and the neshama. In truth, we already learned that the neshama, the intellect, is the highest part of the person. So what does the Tanya mean that I mentioned a moment ago, that the crown, ratzon, is the pnimius alev, the inwardness of the heart? So Tanya says that the inwardness of feeling, the depths of feeling, which is desire, which is ratzon, in that way, even though it stands between the nefesh and the neshama, so in that regard, in the hierarchy, the neshama is higher, but the Tanya says that because the ruach is the pivotal point, in other words, it's true that the neshama is on a higher level, but the neshama was given to you, like you said, like I mentioned, in the morning you say, neshama shasati b'tahari, the neshama Hashem gave you is pure. That's the neshama. The neshama is on a higher level. It's true, because the neshama, the intellect, is fantastic. But the strength and the power of the ruach, that's why it's called a wind. The strength of the ruach is even greater. Because depending upon my ratzon, that's how I'm going to activate my thoughts, depending upon my ratzon. So the ratzon is it's lower on the level of holiness, but in terms of its strength and its power, the ruach either takes the nefesh and brings it up to the neshama, or it takes the neshama and schleps it down to the ground. It takes the neshama and schleps it down to the lowest place. That the Baal Tanya said, when a Jewish person's thoughts are on things that are impure, it's like taking the king and throwing his head into a toilet, into a bathroom. That's what it means. Yeah.
How do you make yourself one with the right thing?
Okay, good. We're gonna talk about that. How does one make oneself want want the right things? The Yid HaKodesh, the Holy Jew from Peshitta, said that if a Jew wants to want, even until 10 times, it's still called wanting. You understand? That's pretty good. If you want to want something, even 10 times, after 10 times, he says it's not called wanting anymore. You're fooling yourself. In other words, if I want to want till 10 times to be a good Jew, that's Hashem considers that as if you wanted. 10 times removed from wanting, you could be the craziest person in the world. The world comes with sick things. But if you want to want, it's still called wanting. Less than 10 times, if it's removed more than 10 times, then it's no, then it's done. It's not called wanting. So how does one come to a place of raiva deriving, of wanting to want? That's the question. I mean, how do I activate my wanting to be a wanting that is holy and pure? That's a great deal of what we're going to be talking about. That's what we're going to talk about. Huh? Excuse me?
The level of to want is different.
Absolutely. and the nature of each human being in terms of, and not only that, but the Tzaddik from Lublin says in Sikkhus HaTzaddik, which Amit Shem will see inside, Tzaddik says that the difference in levels between one human being and another, what makes a person a greater person is the level of cheshek, of desire. Therefore, the greatest Jews that ever lived, Reb Tzaddik says, were the greatest bali cheshek, the biggest bali taiva. Biggest bali taiva, David HaMelech, who's the mystery of Mashiach, is a person of immense desire. Cheshek Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech is called cheshek, the desire of Shlomo. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Yosef HaTzadik are called a Sonei Olam, the powerful ones of the world. Reb Tzaddik says because they had powerful, powerful desire. So Reb Tzaddik is mechazik a person. Sometimes we think that if a person sometimes feels rumbling within some darker desire or some darker longing, so the person tends to be very critical of oneself and to think that I'm a nuvel, I'm a lowlife, I'm a terrible person. If it's expressed in an improper way, certainly it has to be corrected. But the underlying potential of a person who is a Baal Taiva, I don't mean in a negative way, is a person of Cheshek, because Halebedige Mensch, a person of Cheshek. I always like to say over from the Rebbe Rabbi Aaron HaGadol from Kalin, that Rabbi Aaron Kalin used to say that I prefer a Jew that sits in a bar waving a glass, singing an obscene song, to the sad contemplative philosopher. That's what Rabbi Aaron Kalin said. Why? He said, the sad contemplative philosopher is going to sit like that, you know, like the thinker, his whole life in one place. There's no great aliyah, there's no great yerida. Because the ruach is stifled, the ruach, the rotzen is stifled, the will, the desire is a desire that is paralyzed. So, it's kind of grace at tzaddik, and it's kind of grace at rosha. He's not going to be a big tzaddik, he's not going to be a big rosha. The ruach is still. But the person, the Rabbi Aaron Kalina says, who's waving the glass of beer in the bar, singing the song that he shouldn't be singing. So Baron Kalina says, if left alone, Chalila, so we have a person that's not going to Olam Haba. But Rabbi Aaron says, but give me a Jew like that to work with. Aye, with a Jew like that, you can work. A lebedik. He's alive. He's a Baal Cheshek. He's a Baal Taiva. He's a Ma'od. He's an Adam. He's an Adam. He's a Baal Cheshek. It's a Baal Cheshek. Those educators that try to take away the Cheshek from the children, think by taking away a Cheshek, by taking away creativity or stifling longings and creativity, that they're going to develop greater Jews, are making a big mistake. You're creating sad, contemplative philosophers at best, and at worst, depressed and despairing people who have no love for Hashem and have no love for anything. The ikkar and the tachlis of this world is to recognize the cheshek and to take the cheshek, and instead of allowing it to remain, the longing to remain on a level of nefesh, to use the ruach, the ratzon, to want. We have to work on that. To lift up the cheshek and make it a cheshek for the Eibush, to make it a cheshek for the one above, make it a cheshek for things that are good. As they say by the chassidim, es Hashem lokecha tira. It says in the pasuk, es Hashem lokecha tira, that one should fear Hashem. Chassidim say, es, eat, but Hashem lokecha tira. A person should eat, es, eat, it's good to eat, but Hashem lokecha tira. And that's much harder than not eating. Therefore, the tzaddikim said, to eat in the way of holiness is greater than fasting. To eat in the way of holiness is greater than fasting. That the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should be Balei Cheshek. He wants us to be creative. Wants us to be creatures of longing. And the greatness of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech and the greatness of all the tzaddikim was to the extent that they were Balei Cheshek. That they were people that were Ma'od. That were very. In their very nature. They were very. The tachlis is how to take the nefesh, and to refine it and to lift it and to bring it into the world and to bring it into the kedusha of the neshama and not the other way. So the ruach is such a thing. Therefore, listen, let me read to you from the words of Rabbi Nachman. You don't have it on the page. The real good stuff I don't write down. I'm afraid it'll fall into the wrong hands. You never know. You never know. Rabbi Nachman says, "Kishapoygmin hadibur shehu ruach piv shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu." When a person blemishes one's speech, when we're not speaking correctly, because speech, as we're going to learn now for the next 6 or 7 weeks, that speech is the quality of ruach, the essential manifestation of the ruach that comes from the heart. And with the breath of life is through the words, through the speech, not just through the words, but through the sound, the voice, the krechts, the breathing of a Jew. In the Sfarim HaKadoshim, now people are really into this, and they don't know that the Sfarim HaKadoshim, the Kitzvei Ari, and the Zohar Kodesh, and the writings of the students of the Baal Shem, and the Gra, there's so much about how to breathe, about healthy breathing, that now everybody knows that all the holistic people are making a big deal, and how important, and you know, in the Orient, how they were Megal, how they revealed teachings of the importance of breathing and how one can control one's emotions and feelings and so on, and how essential to the person is the koach of neshima, of breathing. This is from talk about at length. So the ruach peh, if a person is pogame, if a person, God forbid, blemishes, the ruach peh, in other words, if a person's speech, which as we'll learn now, Mitzvah, speech which is the most essential manifestation of ruach, of emotion, is through speech. If a person blemishes the quality of dibur, the power of speaking, meaning, God forbid, through lashon hara, or God forbid, through obscene language, or through sheker, or for falsehood, and so on. So Ibn Achman says that when that happens, azay aideh ha-pagam na'aseh rumuach miruach piv ruach sa'ara, that from the ruach hapeh, from the breath of the mouth, which is supposed to bring good things to a person's life with davening and with learning, if a person is not in control of the ruach, then the speech, the words are not carefully chosen, then the very same ruach that was a ruach that gave life, a breath that could have given life, just like we see that the source of life is in breathing. That which could have given life becomes, is transformed from being a breath of life to a ruach sa'ara. What does it mean, ruach sa'ara? a stormy, violent wind that uproots and destroys. So what does Dibur have to do with Ruach? So let's look at the last two things here. V'hadibur hu mibchinas haruach. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, if you don't have the pages from last, we're just finishing the pages from last week, look on please. So he says that hadibur hu mibchinas haruach. Speech is ruach. Speech, speaking, dibur is the clearest and most powerful manifestation of ruach. K'mosha Kosev, as it says in the pasuk, there are hundreds of psukim. Ruach Hashem diber bi. And the Spirit of Hashem spoke within me. Spoke within me. Uberuach sefasav. And with the breath of the lips. K'mosha tegim unklus vayihi adam l'nefesh chaya. It says when Hashem created man, whoever learned anything about speech must have learned this famous Targum Unklus, that it says in the Pasuk V'hi Adam L'Nefesh Chaya, a man became a living soul, a living being, and the Targum translates that into Aramaic as Ruach Memalala, a speaking creature. The human being is defined as a Medaber. There are four different levels of reality. Rabbi Yehuda Levi adds on a fifth. There are four basic levels of reality. Domain means the inanimate objects. Someach means vegetative life, trees and so on. Chai are animals, and the human being is defined as a medaber, one who speaks. Rabbi Yehuda Levi added on a Yisrael, a Jew. But a Jew is a different min, it's a different creature in the world. But medaber, the human being is a medaber. It was the definition, just like we saw, that whether a person is alive or dead depends upon the ruach hapeh, the breath of life. So too, and Ruach HaPer means Bechira, right? Ruach means choice, it means wanting, it means desire, it means Keser, it means the crown. That's what Ruach means. And that's determining whether you're alive, you're a living person, depending upon your desire. So through which part of the human being is one's Ruach most profoundly expressed? It's through the Ruach HaPer, through Dibur. Therefore the human being, the living being, Vayihi Adam L'Nefesh Chaya, and man became a living being. The living being, the translation of the Targum of Vayihi Adam L'Nefesh Chaya, that man became a living creature, the translation of the Targum is Ruach Memalula, a speaking being. Because the definition of life is Dibur. That means when the Pasuk says, Achayim V'Amavis B'yad HaLoshen, that life and death is in the hand of the tongue, and all the things that you heard about, the danger of Loshen Hara, and the great potential that man has within his Koach HaDibur, that's because since Dibur is most, we didn't learn how yet, we're going to learn, Mitzvah, how Dibur is most deeply connected to Ruach. Ruach means choice, Ruach means desire. Therefore, the measuring stick of how a person is using his or her free choice is primarily through the words that you say. Through the words that you say. Dibur, speech, is the Ruach HaPeh. The human being is a medaber. The human being was told, ubacharta b'chaim, choose life. Life means to be a creature that breathes, that expresses the ruach through your dibur, through your speech, in a holy way. So the most powerful way of connecting the nefesh, the lowest quality of the human being, with the highest quality, which is the neshama, is through the words that we say. Therefore the tzaddikim say, on the pasuk, hemanti ki adaber ani onisi meod, hemanti ki adaber, that if a person wants to have faith in Hashem, to increase one's faith in Hashem, ki adaber, speak more about faith. It's an interesting thing. When you say something often enough, you begin to feel it. When a person davens out loud, when a person throws his or her koach into davening, even though when you start you don't really feel much, nothing much is happening, you're not really into it. But if you throw yourself into the diburim of tefillah, which we're going to talk a lot about how to do that, and to mamish place yourself into the words of tefillah, or when you're learning something, to put yourself very much into the words that you're learning, so after a few minutes, your heart begins to catch on fire. That's the truth. It's like the fire that the fire is a small fire until the wind of the ruach is fanned upon it. Just like when you have a fire, you would think there is a certain kind of a wind that puts out a fire. If the wind is a certain kind of a wind, if it's a hurricane, it will put out the fire. That is when the speech is used improperly. That's a wind that is like we saw from Rabbi Nachman. That's called a ruach sa'ara. It's a destructive wind. But words of Torah, words of tefillah, even if you're not feeling much. Because words, since speech is from the Ruach HaPeh is speech, when a person says words that are good, and you say them loud, and you throw yourself into it, it's like taking a fan and putting it next to the flame, and the fire begins to grow into a fire of Kiddush, into an Eish Kodesh, into a feeling of holiness. V'chein nira la'ayin. And so, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin says, we can see with our eyes. Shebechol dibur sha'odam ma'itzim yipiv, yotzei ruach v'hevel me'apah, that when a person speaks, there's a wind that comes out from the mouth. When a person speaks, there is a breath. U'mishkan ha'ruach ikaruhu b'leiv. And the main place to which, part of the body through which the ruach is manifested, is the heart. Ki ruach v'hevel ha'dibur ikaruhu v'reishiso hu ola me'ha'leiv. Because the beginning of speech, the beginning of breath, comes from the heart. Now, we're not talking, this is not a biology class. The lev here, ruach, the lev means the place of desire, the place of emotions. Like it says in Shir HaShirim, nafshi yotz. Dabro, that when I heard him speak, when the Kala says about the Chosin, that when I heard him speak, my soul left me. Nafshi yotz b'dabro. That when I heard him speak, when we heard Hashem in Har Sinai say, Anoch Hashem Lekecha, our souls left us. Nafshi yotze bedabro. That's what it says in Shir HaShirim. So, the nefesh, the spirit of a person, the soul of a person is very deeply affected, very deeply influenced by dibur. Not just when we hear, when you hear somebody that you love speaking so that it affects the nefesh. But nafshi yotze bedabro means on a deeper level that by my dibur, by the things that I say, by what I say, by the ruach that I invest into my dibur, into my speech, nafshi yotze. Nafshi yotze doesn't mean I die. I mean, it does on one level. But nafshi yotze means that my soul begins to emerge. Nafshi yatza. I begin to feel more spiritual. See, people think that in order for me to daven, I have to feel a certain way. And when I'm feeling a certain way, then I could put my koach into davening. And the students of Baal Shem Tov taught that's not true at all, that's not how it should be. In order to feel a certain way, one should daven. And by davening, and this goes to what you were asking about, how do we create a rotzen? This is how one. Since the ruach is since the dibur is connected to ruach, comes from the ruach, which comes from the heart. So the way to cause the heart to become engulfed, in other words, the way that my heart should begin to have a rotzen, that my heart should want, is by speaking words of holiness. Did it ever happen to you? This happens to me all the time because I talk. You know, I always have to talk. So very often I have no cheshek at all for anything in ruchnius, and I'm just, you know, I would really much rather just, you know, grab a soda and some potato chips and lie down and, you know, read some stories or something. But what am I going to do? I have to go someplace. I'm supposed to give a talk somewhere, you know. And everybody, Jews are waiting. They want to have chizuk. They want to be inspired. And I'm just in the mood for soda and potato chips. I mean, I'm not holding bite at all. So this unfortunately happens more than I would like, and I don't have a cheshik. And I always will say to my wife something to the effect of it's really not right, and maybe, you know, someone else should go talk to them. And it's not right. I'm supposed to go to talk to Malav Malka, and I just don't. I'm not in the mood. I'm a cheshik. But I have to go. So what happens invariably is that, look, I have to say the words that I had planned to say. In the words, I know what I was going to say, but I feel funny because I don't have a cheshik. But once you start to talk, once you start to say, you see, because really the nefesh is longing for those feelings. It's not that I have to have kavanah. It's like Rav Kook says in his introduction that I always like to mention. That Rav Kook says that the neshama is tamid mispalelus, that the soul is continuously davening. See, we make the mistake. We think that kavanah, intention, is that I have to create some sort of feeling in order that my davening should be real. So I have to create. And that's a very hard thing to do because we generally think that only Hashem creates. So you're asking, how do I create a desire, or how do I create a will? The answer is, Rav Kook says that the neshama is tamid mispalelus. The neshama is continuously davening. The problem is that there are certain things that are in the way. But it's remarkable, when you activate the ruach, When you activate the Ruach, when you begin to fan the Nefesh, and you say words that are holy, that come from the Svarim HaKadoshim, you speak words that are holy, and you say things that are right, then you see that Hemanti Ki Adaber, that you begin to believe in what you're saying. You begin to believe, and this will happen, that in the middle of when I'm talking, I feel myself catching on fire. Not from anything that I've said that's unusual, but because the words of Torah, when you say words of Torah, when you say words of Tefillah, so nafshi yotze bedabro, your nefesh is ripped out of its loneliness. Your nefesh is ripped out of its paralysis. And the reason is because dibur comes from the ruach, and therefore I've often mentioned to you that it's a very fundamental teaching of the Baal Shem HaKadosh and all of his students. It's a very fundamental teaching of the Baal Shem and his students that you don't have to be in the right mood to daven. How often does it come out that davka by shachris you feel like davening? Most of the time, shachris you just want to roll over and go back to sleep. Kind of, especially if you're taking care of children. This one's pulling at your robe. The other one's like throwing eggs across the kitchen, and you're trying to chop a shemen esrei. It's altogether crazy. So we stand our whole lives till 120, waiting till we feel something. We don't feel, and we go through thousands of shachrises, and we should only be well. Shachrises and minchas and whatever, and benching, and all these different things. And it's going to just help. And you try to think back, when was the last time I had some kavanah? So what does a person do? So there are, we're going to be talking about that mitzvah over the times to come. But we have to understand tefillah. But the Baal Shem Tov taught that it's not that you have to feel a certain way in order to daven, or that you have to create the kavana, or that you have to. What happens if you don't have? It's shachrism. You don't have kavana, so you think that if I had the time, I would go off somewhere to a cave and I would meditate, and then I would have the right kavana. It's lav davka, not necessarily true. Sometimes you're trying very, very hard. You know, let's say, I don't know if this has ever happened to any of you, that you've gone to the coastal. Mistama, it hasn't happened to you. But women, when they get to the coastal, they right away start to cry. But, you know, it happened to me. How many times did it happen? Like, when I was going to Eretz Yisrael, so I was looking forward to a long time that I was going to go to the coastal, I was going to pour my heart out, I had so many things on my mind. When I got to the coastal, again, I just felt like, you know, the same potato chips and soda. It was crazy. I didn't feel anything at all. I was colder than the stones. I mean, I almost felt nothing. So what do? You try to like make yourself, you try to work yourself up into a good cry. So you think of like all these horrible thoughts of, so that, you know, and it's not working. You're trying to cry. What's the matter with me? You're thinking, Yom Kippur, I got to cry. I'm not crying. So it's not the pshat is the tzaddikim taught that, when a person feels a certain way, then you should daven. You have to daven shachris. I mean, I'm not talking about halach. Of course you have to daven the times that you have to daven. But the main davening in your life that's going to be, the davening that you're going to remember in your life is when you were feeling, let's say, afraid. Let's say someone that you love wasn't feeling well. The person was, God forbid, going through certain tests or in the hospital. And then feeling that deep sense of fear and the dependency upon Hashem. So then you daven. So it's a different davening. This happens to us all the time. You know, sometimes you might feel sad about something. It could be something which is silly. You know, you're sad because you were working on your fingernail for 3 weeks and then it broke. Maybe something. I don't know. Maybe that's not such a silly thing. I don't know. So let's say that happens, God forbid. So a person is feeling. Now the person wouldn't want to tell this to anybody. This is ridiculous. I'm supposed to go tell people. Why do you look so ungeblues and why do you look sad? So I'm supposed to say because my nail broke and I'm working. It's my project for the year. My nails and it broke. I mean, this is, or something like that. Or it didn't come out right. I thought that the curtains were going to match the thing and it didn't match. You know, and I have a whole chalisha zadas that it didn't match. So it's not the kind of thing. So maybe something you tell a best friend. But stamazai, you'd feel silly talking about it. Why are you depressed? You have a healthy family. Everything is good. You have everything is fine. So what? This is something to be depressed about. So the svarim, certain svarim will tell you that this is silly. This is small. Get out of this. But the tzaddikim, who Hashem sent to this world in the days before Mashiach to give us strength, the tzaddikim taught, if you're feeling that way, daven. What does it mean to daven? If you're feeling upset about something, so look into Tehillim, find a kapitel that talks about sadness, find a kapitel that talks about if you're afraid of something, even if it's a small thing. because the heart is open. And when the heart is open, a person has to take advantage of that moment, to take advantage of the moment when the heart is open. It doesn't make a difference how the heart opened. Whatever it was that opened it. You see, the problem is that we get off a daven shachris and the heart is closed, so the davening doesn't go. And we're wondering, what's the matter with me? I don't feel anything. So it could be you don't. Okay, there are things to do to try to improve that. But what about the times that you did feel something? And you allowed that moment to escape you in a very small, silly way, and you never brought it, you never lifted it up from nefesh up to a higher level of neshama. The way to do that is with the ruach haper, with dibur, when you say words of tefillah. When something is worrying you, even if it's a small thing, and you begin to, like at the beginning of this week's parasha, is Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda approaches Yosef, and he whispers into his ear, Biadoni, right? He whispers into his ear. So Chazal say that the word Vayigash means for tefillah, for davening, and Yehuda leaning over to Yosef, Yosef always means the Shechina, and Yehuda leaning over to Yosef means every Jew that davens and leans over and says, Biadoni. And the deeper meaning of Biadoni, my master, sir, was he whispering to the ear of Yosef at Tzadik? It means that when a person davens, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, when a person approaches Hashem to daven, you have to say Biadoni. What does that mean, Biadoni? It means that in all my tzaras and all my smallness and all my worries and all my happiness and fears and all these things, be Adoni, the master of the world, is there also. And therefore, the tzaddikim taught that the surest way that tefillah could be answered, the most powerful way that all tefillah could be answered, is if a person tries to think that if I'm sad about something, then kivyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also sad about something. And you try to daven that be Adoni, that part of God, that godliness that's within you, should be able to become besimcha. In other words, I'm not just doing this because I want to be happy. It's because I know that if I'm unhappy, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also not entirely happy, kivyach, whatever that means. So be Adoni means Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Vayigash Elav Yehuda means how does a Jew daven? How do you approach Hashem when you're davening? Don't just say, I need this, I need that, I need this, give me that. Say in a way, if I'm not well, Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol is not doing so well. There's a story that they say about that one of the Chassidim of the Kedushas Levi, the Bedichshava, looked in once. You know, you have all these stories about Chassidim that were peeking in at the Rebbe. You know, nowadays if people do that, they get arrested. But in the old days, it was a great way to learn. To learn the Dvar Hashem by watching a tzaddik. So there was a Jew that was in Bedichshav, and Chassid was there, and he looked in on the Kedushas Levi. It was very late at night, and he wanted to see how the Bedichshav prepares for bed. How he prepares them with the Tikkun Chatzos and the whole thing, you know, by the tzaddikim. So he was watching that the Bedichshav was sitting on the floor and crying, you know, the whole thing with the midnight, the Tikkun Chatzos, about the Churban and so on. And after this is all finished, he sees the Kedushas Levi, takes a bottle of schnapps out from the table, pours it into a little thing, and he holds up the cup, he says, L'chaim, l'chaim, agitanach, l'chaim, tovim, l'sholom. He says, Takash Baruch Hu. And he takes a drink. So the chassid was almost, you know, what kind of life is that? A lot of people can make l'chaims like that. They do. This is for tzaddik to live in such a way. He sees that the Bedich was making l'chaim to the Rabbani Shalom in such a way. So he was trying, you know, to understand it, but he couldn't. So the next day he said, I have to admit, I was watching the Rebbe go to sleep, and I saw that he made a l'chaim takash baruch, and had some whiskey. A gute nacht. So the Bedichshav said, every night, the night means galus, the night means exile, the night means fear, the night means all those things that it means. So what he's saying is it should be a gute nacht. It means that Rabbi Shalom, if it's good for the Jewish people, if tonight there won't be any pogroms, if tonight children will be well, if tonight we'll all be able to sleep and make it through one more dark night of galus, then if it's good for us, then it'll be a good night for you too. So I wanted to give the Rabbi Shalom a l'chaim, that he should be alive and well, and the Jewish people should be alive and well. It should be a gitanach. So a person to understand that's the koach ha-peh, that's the last line here. Ki ha-adam tziroso chibro ha-neshomim ha-guf. This is what we're going to talk about next time. The very definition of a human being is that he is a combination of the neshama and the guf. He is a fusion, a merging of the soul and the body. And the power within us that brings about this fusion is the ruach. Dibur is the place of choice, is the aspect of free choice, which is speech, which is ikar tefillah. Because Ruach connects the Neshama and the Guf, the soul with the body, that's the Ruach. Therefore, we're going to see next time, Yitzhak Hashem, we're going to learn in Maharal, so why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak? Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak? And what does that teach us about the quality of Dibur? What does it teach us about the quality of Dibur? And what's the meaning of Aral Sfasayim? The deeper meaning of the Aral. And what is the meaning of that Gemara in Nida, the famous Gemara, that before a child is born, the last thing that happens, a Malach comes and gives a clap on the mouth, and the child forgets the entire Torah. What's the clap on the mouth? What does it have to do with the ability to speak? And how does this in particular help us understand the Koach of Tefillah, the power of Davening? Mitzvah Hashem next time.